All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three books setting out to make Super Coach history. So many things that we cannot wait to see. When do we get onto the source? Perhaps a twoies or some bubbles? Or is it Miller time to celebrate our players' double-double? We'll party with bangers and some rock by DJ Mitchell. Is he a lock? The Kings can bring the chips like Jonah Bolden brought the dips. Will we get Albridge quick or at least very soon? We think it's Taron Armstrong that is going to the moon. How do we read our next stars? Are you superstitious? Impressive, Johnson Alex. The competition's Rips the Vicious. Robert said no Franks, so they got Franklin instead. They signed some wily veterans. Do they get over the humps ahead? The finalists have been all action with Vin Diesel and Denzel. Couldn't beat them, so they went Cheatham, who's fast and furious as well. Can't have a pair of Sams, but can they fill Pinder's shoes? And can we pair some Jordans when Crawford's small and Hunter's huge? Will Cummings hit a shot? JLA has hurt his wrist. With no AC, does Kel run hot? And is Huck Porty worth the risk? And Adams is back with his family. Let's usher in a new era of fantasy. G'day listeners, you're back with Banksy and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL Supercoach. Here we are, day six of the NBL Blitz Nightcaps Gold Coast edition. We're going to be talking game one soon, but we are Benny-less again tonight. Benny doing a bunch of work during the day and also at night as well for the articles, etc. that you should be seeing in News Corp and News.com and Daily Telegraph and all that sort of stuff. It's just Banks and I running through the games tonight.
I'm almost there, Boydie. I feel like this has been the longest week of my life, but also I feel like the blitz has flown as well. To be in day six already, we've only got one night of games after tonight. And
that's right.
That's all the research done thereafter.
That's it.
That's all we're going to have to watch to come up with our final squads entering round one. But the first game tonight, I believe you more so had your eyes on, and that was the Jack Jumpers versus the Adelaide 36ers, and I believe the Adelaide 36ers put on a much better showing tonight and were leading by as much as 17, but the Jack Jumpers came over the top to win 86-82.
That's it. It was a tale of two halves, really. Adelaide came out of the blocks and were really good in the first half, and then Tasmania just sort of chipped away. They had a massive third quarter, and then I think they doubled their score in the third quarter from 33 at halftime to 66 or whatever it was at three-quarter time. So, and then eventually ground Adelaide down and got the win.
Now, I'm interested to hear your feedback on this game because there's definitely a couple I have my eye on. But first, we need to cover off those currently under maintenance. Those are the injured players or those that missed this evening's game. Who is missing from the JJs?
As what we've expected all through the Blitz and still for some time to be advised is Magne, Big Willie Magne, still out. Good to see him on the bench tonight. I hadn't noticed him in their first couple of games, but he was actually on the bench sitting alongside the assistant coaches and jumped up and was high-fiving and all that sort of stuff a couple of times. Not jumped up, sort of standing up, sorry. I stood up and was doing all that sort of thing. So, hopefully maybe he's on the right path and hopefully we can see Big Willie playing on the court eventually. And for Adelaide, they decided to rest a few of their bigs. I think there's a couple of question marks over him. Cal's obviously been out the whole Blitz, which is a bummer because he looked quite good in one or two of their preseason games before the Blitz. And then tonight, Wiley's rested with a sore calf, I think it was, and Jace Kadee also rested for Adelaide 36ers.
And there was someone that's going to be missing long term who have missed there. Ooh. Who was that?
Yes. Oh, yes, that's right. Franklin he sat out tonight. Was on the bench, though, interestingly enough. But I think we might have picked this, didn't we? We saw some red flags with this sign.
Oh, there was red flags. Let's have a flashback to the preseason.
Look, some quotes about Jamal Franklin. So going through some articles, he was slapped with a $30,000 Filipino dollar. Don't know what that is.
What's a conversion?
Fine. For confronting referees. Okay. Mm.
I'm going to Google the conversion while you...
Yes, thank you. Please. All right. And in articles, the Fiber X's have decided to release Jamal Franklin as soon as possible. After shooting 208 field goals in his previous nine outings, the 31-year-old shot five times, finishing with 4 points, 30 less than his average. From the coach, it's either he takes 36 or 5. I cannot understand. He said that in a mix of Filipino and English. So he said, for sure there will be changes. I cannot say what it is, but for sure there will be changes. Any initial thoughts, fellas, on what this sounds like, considering what Adelaide had last year?
Oh, look, there's a definite red flag there.
Fair red flag. So it does raise the alarm bells, particularly that Craig Randall only lasted six games last season.
Yeah, Randall's the one that the two names that go in my head when I hear things like that is Randall and Glenn Rice Jr.
Oh, Ricey.
Yeah, well, so in a positive though. Mm-hmm. So Craig Simpson used to be Sam's coach.
Yep, assistant, but yep.
So he coached him in China. And CJ had him in Summer League as well. So they're both
some familiarity
familiar.
There. Yep.
That is good. So all this familiarity sounds great, but Glenn Rice Jr. mentioned him before. I found an old article. He was called the greatest talent to ever play in the NBL.
Oof.
But Glenn Rice Jr. arrives with a mixed reputation. He starred in Israel under their coach or director of basketball, Dan Shamir. Before Shamir had to release him after Rice Jr. was reportedly in a fight with a teammate after a game. So, is this an isolated incident?
It's got risk-reward all over it.
That's right. It did have risk-reward all over it. And now we can say that the former Fibre Xer is now an X36er.
Poor Adelaide, hey? They've been Sloan, been Randall, and now they've been Franklin.
Yeah, interesting one though. Like, yeah, there was sort of red flags from the start, but there was that familiarity, like we said, which it's a little bit weird. But look, he looked okay in one of their preseason games. I think it was versus Sam Phoenix, and Sam had basically none of their starting lineup in the game. And he actually looked okay. Like, it kind of put me on on watch with him. Because he had a nice stroke from the three, I think, a couple of times, and he looked okay. And then it just hasn't worked. So, and that's even without Cal playing, the whole blitz as well. And he's arguably in sort of a similar position, plays a similar position to him. So yeah, he's gone. Obviously, Olgan Ulich has been tweeted that yesterday or the day before now, that he is most likely gone or is gone. And a replace all are already underway to find a replacement. And they're talking import PG, which is interesting because we were thinking that they're kind of loaded there. But we'll see what happens, and we'll talk about that a bit more into the pod. So let's maybe go to my first one.
A bit to play out. Yeah, so let's get stuck in. I'm really keen to hear what you saw in this game. So first one, I believe there was someone that dominated from the losing team.
I said, let me take Mark of the Century first. Went back. Absolutely killed Chris Langford. Kick 4 or 5, got best player, and we lost by 98 points. But that was irrelevant.
Yeah, look, this game wasn't lost by 98 points. Obviously, it was fairly close in the end. But I've decided to use this one as the best player on the losing team tonight, which was obviously Mitch McCarron. Almost a triple-double, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists there. So he did get the double-double and 42 super coach points.
You can do this.
Pardon me?
He can do this. He does this, doesn't he?
He can do this, and he gets us all interested. And look, he was probably helped by the outs in the 36ers tonight. Obviously, no Wiley, no Franklin, so he had decent minutes. He ended up playing over 36, nearly 36 and a half minutes for the game. So obviously, he was on the court a lot of the time. He was kind of back to that Mitch McCarron you like to see, like bring the ball up, run and plays. He was active on offense, which I don't think he has been in the previous Blitz games. He's been kind of just sort of standing in the corners or standing on the outsides. Could he be that sneaky pick for round one and two with the back-to-back doubles? Obviously, a new import PG is rumored to be on the way, but I'm presuming unlikely to be here and playing in the first round or two, you would think. And he's at a slightly cheaper price than the new imports, 262K. So is this enough? I don't think his previous Supercoach calls were not that flash for the Blitz, but is this game a sign of things to come?
Now, Boydy, I'm assuming this has all come to fruition because of what Olgan highlighted earlier in the day, and that was a change of role. So obviously they've experimented, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about him in a minute, but they experimented with Flowers playing the PG, and it was rumoured that he was going to move to the wing as early as this game, and I'm assuming Mitch McCarron took the reins and was given the keys tonight.
Yeah, that you could say that. He definitely was. As I said, he was more involved. Obviously, tennis just shows you that he was involved in the in running the plays now and back to being that point guard, Mitch McCarron, which I think is what Adelaide need. So hopefully they stick with it. And as I said, it's almost tempting to be almost a bit of a point of difference pick with Macca. Obviously, they've got four games in the first two rounds. They've got the double in round four as well, don't they? So they basically play seven games in the first four rounds, which is equal the best schedule, I think. Yep, so
equal with United.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. It's going to be a real dicey pick. Does Cal come back? Does that influence it? Wiley coming back, does that influence it? I think Wiley less impacts it, because I think Mitch is smart enough to get Wiley the ball at good spots, I think, running the point, which he obviously did tonight for others, including Smith Milner. It's a bit of an interesting one. It's a risky pick.
Oh,
but
it's risky.
It could pay off.
It could. We know he's got that ceiling. We know what he can do, and he's 2% owned. And Adelaide had 19 assists for the game, and I can see he had 10 of those. So
yep.
It's a possible play, but it depends on what squad they have moving into round one, doesn't it? So let's get stuck into the other guy I really, really am keen to hear about, and that is one of the next guys. So let's move into our schoolies segment.
We got evicted. We slept on the beach for the night, and now we're in Chevron. Yeah, we got evicted!
That's right. We're going to talk about Trenton Flowers. With all their imports out, kind of feel like this was Flowers' time to open up and show us something. But alas, he did not. 8 super coach points, 7 points, 5 rebounds, only 2 turnovers tonight. So that was a positive. But I think he's a very risky prospect. I mean, he had 8 super coach points tonight. I think his previous games he's had a zip and a 15. So his average is about 7. He's priced at, 10? So I think it's a bit risky. Even with the change of role, he did hit one nice 3 tonight, which was kind of nice, and I think it was early on, I was like, I'm kind of hoping now that he goes on from here and does, and shows us a little bit. But yeah, I think you'd be a brave person to be putting him into your Supercoach side. Well, that's how I feel anyway, but I was one of the first, I was the first out of us three at least, to put a line through him. So you guys were kind of more into him.
And you're right. Dead right. I mean, the first thing I look at when we talked about this change of role with him going to the wing is, all right, maybe we're going to see more shot attempts, okay? And looking at that box score, he had 4 shot attempts tonight in 26 minutes.
Not enough.
No.
Yep.
It's not. How is he going to get his points? It doesn't – yeah. If he's not,
yeah, that's it.
He's had 0 assists with that change of role, and he's put up 4 shots. So
that's it. He was active on the boards, which I liked, because it was, boards are effort a lot of the time, and I think he was having a crack tonight. So maybe, he's got a bit of a foot up the bum or what have you. But yeah, I just don't think he, at the moment, it's not attractive to me to get the Flowers in.
And that rounds out his blitz showing with Supercoach scores of 0, 15, and 8. He would have lost cash, believe it or not, on that starting price of 115K.
Correct.
Anyway, let's jump next into the roller coaster segment. That is a player who is going up and down in a game or across the tournament.
That's right, and tonight I'm going to go with Jordan Crawford for the Tassie Jack Jumpers. So he only had the 7 super coach points tonight.
What happened?
Look, he just wasn't into it, to be honest. He was kind of just not really part of the game for a lot of it.
So
he
did play a lot of minutes, the rec stuff.
Yeah, a little bit like that. He did play almost over 29 and a half minutes, though. So you've kind of got to take this on board, but look, I don't think he was as active as he has been in the previous two games. Obviously, he had a 23 and a 36 Supercoach scores in his first two blitz games. This has very much been a dip. Granted, he probably had at least 2 or 3 possible assists where the player he passed to were completely open. Like, he had him completely open for an easy shot, and both were misses, or at least 2 I can remember off the top of my head. So that's probably hit him a little bit. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. So, yeah, just look, I'm not overly worried, though, to be honest, because I still see some things there. He didn't shoot very well tonight. He was none for four from three and about three from 12 in the field. So, it just wasn't working for him tonight.
Can I ask you something?
Yep, go.
Okay, so something that someone that didn't watch the game that springs to my mind is it that Doyle and Crawford can't score well together in the same game? And the reason I say that is if we look at the last Blitz game when they played New Zealand, Crawford did go off for 36 Supercoach points and Doyle only had the 19, and then it was a flip tonight with 7 for Jordan and just the and a pretty large 41 for Milton Doyle.
I'm going to go with probably yes, to be honest. I don't know whether they can combine, to be honest, and both score well. I think maybe, just judging by this, you know, I think maybe Jordan's floor's lower, and Doyle seems, you know, he still had the 19 in that game where he probably didn't score that well, even though Jordan Crawford had 36 in their last game. So maybe Doyle's floor's not as low. But as I said, tonight it was more just his shot wasn't dropping. As I said, he only shot 25% from the field. And, yeah, wasn't getting kind of involved as much as he has. I think even at one stage there, I saw a couple of times where on their offense for Tasmania, he was just kind of standing at half court almost at the top of the key, but at least quarter court, almost towards half court. So he just kind of wasn't getting as involved as he probably has in the first couple of games. And that's why I think he was just kind of in first gear. He just was kind of going through the motions tonight, even though he played a lot of minutes, which was a bit weird. But maybe that Tasmania just wanted to get the win as well, so they wanted to play him enough to get the win, I guess.
And so it always was going to be a thing, wasn't it? Like, how much do we read into this last Blitz game as the teams enter round one? So
that's it.
I guess there's only so much we can take out of it. It doesn't fill me with confidence because he's definitely within my trade plans of bringing him in for that double in round two and three, maybe a Cotton down to him, for example. And he just gave me a lot of confidence with that last game, which I did see against New Zealand, where he had the 36. But that 7 and not watching the game tonight doesn't fill me with a whole lot of confidence.
No, that's it. And look, I think we need to see him in a real game. So at least, you'd be risky to put him into your side, I think, now.
Yeah.
I think you need to see him in a real game and see how those two work combined, because that is very much the question mark, whether Doyle and him can score high Supercoach points on the same night. I think they could get it rolling, but Doyle's very active tonight on the offense, a lot more ball handling probably than I saw in the first two games myself. Just a gut feel, where he was much more involved tonight. So maybe they wanted to get him going a little bit, and then, you know, their next game maybe he won't be involved quite as much. Who knows? But
and ideally, we'll get a look at them in that round one matchup before we want to be trading either into our teams from the doubles in round two. But I think unfortunately they play Perth in round one, so it's not the ideal matchup for fantasy scores there.
He had the four turnovers tonight, which affected him as well. I think a couple of times Sunday Desh was actually on him, and kind of, you know, that bigger muscular guard probably got to him a little bit, because we know Crawford is on the smaller frame size. So yeah, just one to watch. Keep an eye out.
Very good. Let's move on. I want to know Bolter of the night, obviously one of our go-to refreshments, but someone that played well out of left field. Who are we going?
Oh, yeah, just someone who played well. Not really out of left field, although, yeah, a bit quiet on the first two games. I went with Milton Doyle for this one, the Bolter of the night. So he's just pipped by McCarron for the top Supercoach score for the game. He had 41 Supercoach points on 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals. So padding the stats, as Banksy would like to say. I think he took all of Crawford's assists tonight, which I was going to mention before. Milton Smooth just must come into consideration, I reckon, for that all-important back-to-back doubles in round two and three, although he is on the pricier side, obviously a returning import. But he just looked like that Milton Doyle we were used to last year and that we saw a lot of, and we hadn't seen it kind of in their first two Blitz games. So the return of Doyle.
I was going to say, I was hoping that in those first two games, because he's on my radar from round two as well, but I was hoping he was going through the motions, almost Dane Swan-esque, if you like, with the big preseason games. He only had the 16 and the 19 in the first two Blitz games, and then looks like, judging by that box score, that he was prepping very much for round one, rounding out a 41 super coach game, which is what we wanted to see to consider bringing him in.
Sounds good.
Very good. All right. And next one you've got lined up, the Grand Mirage.
That's right. I don't think we've had a Grand Mirage. I was kind of keen to chuck it in here tonight. So the Grand Mirage is obviously a well-known Gold Coast hotel. We use this category to discuss a player that did well that we think is a mirage. And look, I've got two that I probably could have almost used tonight for this one. The first one is Sunday Desh. I mentioned him quickly on his defensive side before, but he had 32 supercoach points tonight, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and 1 block in 30 and a half minutes. He's 169K, so a score like this, you know, looks at that fairly cheap or cheapish price, maybe not cheapish, but lower price. But obviously, when you think about it more, we're thinking it's going to be a mirage. Obviously, got the extra minutes and roll tonight from those imports being out, Cal out, Franklin out, Wiley out.
Big flag.
I wouldn't expect him when, you know, Cal's in, Wiley's in, even in the future when that new PG import comes back, or comes into the side, sorry, that he's going to get these super coach games, you know, 30-point super coach games regularly. We know Sunday he's going to have the odd game where he pops up for him, but I don't think it's just going to be as consistent enough to warrant us bringing him in. The other one, which was a close second for the Grand Mirage, was Tohi Smith-Milner.
I was going to say, looking tonight at that box score.
That's it. He had 21 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He was hot from 3 for a little while there. I think he had 2 in a row.
For the game.
He did top score for the game. He was hot and he was doing a few things. I still worry if Tohi can actually jump more than about 6 centimetres off the ground. But he only correlated to 15 supercoach points in the game tonight. So he must have had a couple of turnovers.
Yep.
So he probably kind of would have gone in there. But as I said, with Wiley out, I think he had the extra role. He played almost 21 minutes, Smith-Milner. So I think once Wiley's back, he will not get anywhere near that level of minutes and therefore is a bit of a mirage.
I've got to ask you before we wrap it up. Obviously, Smith-Milner out of the box there. That's from left field for sure.
Yep.
But did that must have affected Hump's score? Because I know he's on a few people's radars, particularly some of those on the Discord chat, and I can see 21 minutes, only had the 13 super coach point game. What did you see in Hump's game tonight? Was that affected with lower minutes with Smith-Milner? What did we see there?
Yeah, a little bit. He almost played 21 minutes as well. 13 super coach points, 9 points, 4 rebounds and 1 assist. I reckon Hump's done his hard yards in the first two games. I didn't feel like he was in the game or into the game as much tonight, even early. But he did do some nice things that make it still. He's got me intrigued. But he's at awkward price, I believe. So I'm not too sure. He's going to be a fairly big risk, I think, to go with him as well. At one stage, I was a little bit worried about him because he looked like he was playing with his shorts, like his waistband on his shorts weren't right or something like that. I'm like, no, has he done a bit of a side strain or something along those lines? But I'm pretty sure he was just playing with his shorts. But you heard it here first. If we heard this here this week that he's got a side strain, I reckon that's when I was picking it up because he was playing around with his sort of hip at one stage type thing. But I'm pretty sure it was his shorts he was playing around with. But anyway, I think they kind of just, I don't know, they just didn't have him in there as much tonight.
Interesting.
Did it have an impact? Smith-Milner playing the 22 and a half minutes, maybe. And he was hot for a little while, as I said. But Humph was still getting those little finishing off plays. When McCarron must have had a couple of assists to him, I would have thought, watching the game. Not much I can say. He's a big question mark.
I mean, Lee's no slouch on defense either, so.
Correct. He's a really big question mark. I really want Humph to have a big year, and I really would like him to smash it out of the park. And we know he can. He can put those double-double games together. You know, we talked about him in the previous pods where he had that run of the old fantasy scoring points when he had a few games where he was averaging sort of 60, 70 over the course of 3 or 4 games. So We know he can do it and put up monster scores, but can he do it regularly enough? And can he do it in this Adelaide 36ers team? I'm not sure.
And he pairs well, if you're looking at the schedule, with Huck Porty early in those first six rounds. So I know that a few from our Discord chat or our patrons are pairing those two together. Wrap us up, Woody.
Yep. As always, we are on X or Twitter at Beeble_Blokes. We are on Facebook, Basketball Blokes, or www.basketballblokes.com for the live scoring during the NBL Blitz. All our podcasts, all the information on there, the scheduleizer, all the important parts. Jump in and check us out.
G'day there, it's Zach, also known as the Fez, coach of the Fez Monkeys. I gotta say, the best part of being a Patreon supporter is the ever so helpful Basketball Blokes community. Whether it be team advice, injury news, or Boydie's gifts, the Discord chat has it covered. Also, quite handy for those pesky last minute player withdrawals.
Hey guys, Denham Melrose here, coach of OK Then. And my favourite part about being a Patreon with the Basketball Blokes is all the data and stats they send through. It's worth far more than they charge, and it couldn't be more handy.
Hi everybody, my name's Ruby and I'm the coach of the McVeighland Times. My favourite thing about being a Patreon supporter is the pre-season cheat sheet, and knowing that I'm going to get my team off to the best start, and the Discord chat, where everyone helps me see sense after I get a little trade wild.
Hey, I'm Watto, and I'm the coach of the Coogee Hornets. If you want to get all the stats, have some great banter with all those like-minded fantasy individuals, make sure you get on board with the Basketball Blokes and become a Patreon.